It's April 11th, 2017, and this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. Broadcasting from the Santa Cruz Mountains, from Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional.
But the truth is always naked.
I'm Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider.
We're laughing because, once again, the idiocy is
right,
showing
we're
up.
Idiots.
But we welcome you to our idiotic home at Lupin Lodge. And here we are, just giggling. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about the human condition and what to make of it. Sprinkled with laughter, good music, and the many voices of Errol Strider.
Okay, our show is sponsored by Jeremy Bede, our good friend, brother in this life. Thank you, Jeremy. And Go Raw. Go Raw makes natural foods, and guess what? They're raw. Yeah, that's the one thing they have in common, is how to make raw food taste so good and maintain all that amazing nutrients. There you have it. Go Raw. Go to Safeway. Okay, let's get started.
Tonight's fun phrase is...
It just goes to show you... The fact that it just goes to show you is our featured phrase of the week. Just goes to show you how convoluted life can be. Like, one could make a case that our current political, environmental, and economic crisis is a result of our vain and greedy nature, to which one could arguably say, it just goes to show you. On the other hand, if you look at history, it just goes to show you how adaptive and creative we humans can be when we're sufficiently motivated. But then again, it just goes to show you how immature we are when you look at all the ways we shoot ourselves in the feet. Furthermore, it just goes to show you how capable we are of transcendence when you listen to a Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, look at a Van Gogh painting, or read Doomsbury.
Just goes to show you. Wait around long enough, and it will show you, since a fact is a fact is a fact. Unless it's an alternative fact, then there is nothing to show. With all the other illusions and delusions of society, it just goes to show you. I guess nobody heard that.
Well, that just goes to show you. I mean, there's a lot of not hearing each other going on. That just goes to show you that we're not a very good listening people. We're good at putting out people. But when it comes to receiving people, well, it just goes to show you. What, you may ask, what does it go to show you? When we open to receive, we lose control. Because when you're open to receive, stuff just comes in. And you can't control what comes in. Why, it's better to keep it coming from your side so that you feel like you're in control. Huh? The problem is, if we don't listen to each other, we don't get to receive, and that's what it's going to take to be able to know how to respond to one another. It's an exchange. It's a give and a take. But it just goes to show you, in light of our relatively semi-barbaric society, that it's a stretch.
Just goes to show you.
I was listening to Alan Watts today, and he was talking about Jung and the unconscious and the shadow side, and there was this whole talk about evil. But what I came away from his actually quoting Jung and talking about Jung is that we have to recognize that shadow self in ourself, that dark side of ourself, because it will go to show you what in you needs to be embraced, accepted, forgiven. And until that happens, we're just twiddling our fingers, and that's why I believe we are going to fall off the cliff as a civilization and crash down and give birth to the next dark ages.
You and I don't know any of those things. What I do know is that since life and death are part of our humanity, part of life itself, life and death, birth and rebirth, birth and death, whatever, is the cyclical kind of thing. That anything that has a power at any point, that has to diminish so that something new can come up. So if it's our society, then it's our society. But I do believe that the spark of potential for growth and expanded consciousness and the ability to become one with the mystery exists in every person. So whatever survives will continue that path.
You can pretty well estimate if this falling down into chaos again is going to happen over the next 300 to 500 years. I suspect most of the people alive now will not be there to
greet it. They won't be able to say it, just goes to show you.
Right, right. We wanted to be there just past that place where you would have seen it had you paid attention. But it just goes to show you, you weren't paying attention.
And you disappeared before you could.
Hi, this is Barney. You know what just goes to show you? I meet people every day, and they say the same thing every day, and they have the same feelings every day. And it just goes to show you, since I have all that too, how much we're all alike. And there I have it. Staring me in the face is myself in the form of some other person that is showing me an aspect of myself that maybe I didn't want to look at. And there he is saying, okay, you got to look at it. You know how I know that? I want to clobber the guy. That's my signal that I don't want to look at that aspect of myself. But what we're finding out here is we and the guys, you know, we play poker and in between the hands, we talk to each other about this kind of stuff. In my fantasy, the reality is that it's like you're playing cards and you make a bet. And the bet is, okay, I'm going to forgive you. And the other guy says, okay, I'll call you, forgive me. I'm going to raise you. I forgive myself. And the other guy says, call. And then they show their cards and they see that they're all in the same boat.
Goes to show you.
What?
That.
Oh.
What you just said. We're all in the same boat. And that's the thing that I find very funny. It's as if climate change only belongs to certain people. It doesn't belong to other people because they don't want to look at it, so therefore they won't be affected by it. That's the funniest thing of all, because they will be affected by it. You live on the same planet. Everybody's going to be affected by everything that happens on this planet. So all those people that say nothing is going to be happening on this planet will get to say at one point, it's all an illusion. I will get to say, it just goes to show you.
I want to find out what this is going to go show us. I was listening to Noam Chomsky today, and he was talking about this absurd situation. We have probably the most important event that's occurring. There's this impending thing that's the climate change, for example, and they don't want to talk about it. They don't exist. They want to take away funding that might call attention to it. It's just amazing. And then the people on the planet who are the most motivated around it are the Aboriginal people around the planet.
What do you mean?
Aboriginal people.
I know who they are, but what do you mean they're most?
They're most motivated around the climate change and the impending problem with all that. All the way up to the United States, the most powerful country in the world, if it has ever been, the greatest country ever. It doesn't even talk about it. It's not even on the news. It's like it doesn't exist. That, I agree with Chomsky when he says, that is truly remarkable. But, like they say,
they smile when they are low.
Even with a turkey that you know will fold, you may be stranded out in the cold.
Still, you wouldn't change it for a sack of gold.
Let's go on with the show.
The costumes, the scenery, the makeup, the props.
The audience that licks you when you're down. The headaches, the heartaches, the backaches, the flops.
The sheriff who escorts you out of town.
The opening when your heart beats like a drum.
The closing when the customers won't come.
Business like show, business like no, business I know.
Everything about it is appealing.
Everything the traffic will allow.
Nowhere could you get that happy feeling when you are stealing at its above.
There's no business like show business. From Annie Get Your Gun.
Just goes to show you that there's show business.
That's right. It could be argued that it's all show business.
I think it is all show business.
Everything that's going on that's perceived. Perceiving implies that something is showing itself, and you do your part by perceiving it, and it feels seen.
And then the business part, you got to make a buck.
Well, there is that. It's interesting that Rochelle and I, having spent our life as artists in our own way in the world, and all that the adventures we had in doing that over, 40 years, the money part always seemed to escape our enthusiasm and focus and attention for some reason.
We have made money and we haven't made money. I mean, there were times when we made a lot of money doing our work, and there were times when we didn't make any money doing our work. Just goes to show you. You look at it from one perspective and I look at it from another.
It does.
I know one thing. It just goes to show you
that
we have done what we've loved doing for the entire time that we've been together. And we have eaten every day. We have had a roof over our head every day. We've put our children through school. We have a grandchild. We have all the things in life that matter to people. Mimi, we weren't a millionaire.
No, that wasn't my point, though.
What was your point? It just goes to show you. Yeah. I have no idea what your point was.
My point was, it was going to be your point. We haven't really made it a real priority. And yet, just everything Rochelle just said, we've had everything we need. Even now, as I go into my tent, which is my office, and I go, this is fabulous. I actually have four walls and a roof, and I can work in this beautiful woods. Thank you.
Just goes to show you.
What?
You got everything you need.
Good evening. I would like to affirm that, if I may. This is Professor Umbridge. Errol, you've always had whatever it is you needed. But there have been times when, well, quite frankly, those of us who know you have observed that you've been rather whiny. We've seen you drop into poor me on more than one occasion. And while we're at it, we've heard a few complaints from you over the time. And not only that, you have a constant chorus of, why not me? In terms of you're thinking of, why don't I get some of that goodies, whatever it is that they're getting. But we admire your perseverance in spite of your cock-a-doodle point of view about life. From our point of view, it's a wonder you've survived at all, and I attribute it all to your good sense of humor, my lad. Meaning, you're able to laugh at yourself. As a result of that, you have a double laughter squared of yourself laughing, laughing at himself, laughing, laughing, laughing each way back and forth. And it's like a mirror's hall of mirrors, and you're laughing your way into infinity. There you go. Bye.
Don't forget, Professor Umbridge, he also has a wife who laughs at him.
Oh, there you've got it. There you have it. The wife laughs at him. So that's like makes it a sandwich. There's him. And on one side of the sandwich is his laughter. The other side of the sandwich is her laughter. They're quite munchy. They're quite flavorful, as we like to know them well. Thank you, Professor. And once again, it just goes to show you that sometimes you don't see parts of yourself that other people see in you. And you look at those parts and you go, ooh, I do that? Hey, oh. It's a little shame guy inside that gets to come out and play.
I don't want the shame girl. I don't like sleeping with the shame girl anymore. I want to share my bed with the shame girl. She's annoying as hell. Almost as bad as the computer not working when you want it to work. I get extraordinarily frustrated when machines who are programmed to do marvelous things don't do them.
Don't obey you. She does the same thing with me.
No. I can forgive humans faster than I can forgive the machines. Because I don't expect humans to be perfect, but I expect the machine to be perfect. And when it isn't, the level of frustration is so enormous. It just goes to show you that the frustration level in me is a lot higher than I thought it was.
Back to the fire.
What fire?
I don't know. They're always back to some fire on the news. I mean, you just watch the news and it's just such a reflection of our maturity. It's all about the conflict. I mean, I think of all the things that are happening at any given time on any given day all over the planet. What the news features is conflict.
Because at the point we are as human beings, that gets our attention.
So how can you expect that with that kind of mentality, this particular civilization would survive? It can't survive. It's inevitable that it's going down. But if, like you said, I love that. You think of it as a cycle, like a wave, like a sound wave. And it went up, and then the sound wave goes back down under the horizontal bar, and then it rises again, and it keeps evolving each time into something different.
I always think of Great Britain. Or, you know, the flag never set on the British Empire because it was all over the world. It had little points. It was taking over. Great imperialistic country. It was at one time the greatest country on the planet. So if we took that spot as the greatest country on the planet and you look at history, you don't last very long.
Right. They're holding our place. I'll take that spot. Yeah, but we're just leaving. That's what the professor would say. We're just leaving now. And they kind of departed from the stage. Right. And then the United States come up and, Senator, you do a great impression of the United States. Give us a little United States. Good evening, Harold and Rochelle. This is Senator Beauregard. And, well, my impression of the United States at this moment is, I have a friend, a rabbi. He used a word I liked, something about fakakta or something. I don't do Jewish words too well, but it was like, it's nuts. It's just plain old nuts. It's going every which way at once, and it's still heading down for the bottom of the toilet, no matter how fast it runs or how far it can think.
Goes to show you that the fastest way to dematerialize is to think you can't dematerialize.
You know, I just saw six things in our room. They weren't there. There was a pencil. There was a CD. And they were like, where'd they go?
I'm serious. Like, it's like this sense of like, oh, I'm so omnipotent. I can't possibly disappear. And then you disappear.
That's why it's, well, what can I say? It just goes to show.
That you were in love with me. The cat comes out of the bag, and now I see it's a bigger picture than I bargained for. It's a smaller frame that keeps you behind my door. And oh, I don't know.
Charge of life, I won't be running for.
Song is called Just Goes to Show, and the singer, Joanie Leeds, Leeds, or I just smelled it when I piped it.
That just goes to show you. Sometimes our tongue disappears into the ether.
I can feel Professor Wiener Schnitzel. I'm sorry. Anyway. You're here. Welcome. Glad you're here. What goes to show you? Yeah, this is Professor Wiener Schnitzel, as you like to say. That's all right. People taught me that all my life. But it just goes to show you, when people say Wiener in front of your name, they feel like they can take license with how you might respond to that. Some people could think I would be insulted. Other people might think that when you put Wiener in front of my name, Schnitzel, that it would make me want to go get one. They don't know. It's a chance that everyone takes when they meet me. But it just goes to show you that people are willing to take that chance. Sometimes. That just goes to show you that they're not always consistent. When you know what that shows you is that the consistency is trying to decide which way to go. Yeah? And it can't decide. And just to show you, when it gets to the bottom, they're standing there mute, because they're looking at life with a big open mouth going, huh? That just goes to show you something else.
Every minute changes and every minute goes to show you something else.
That's so funny. Thank you, Professor. That is so funny. I never would have thought of that. That's good. Yes. I wanted to tell you where I've been on my journey. As I've shared on this program before, I've been immersing myself in what I'll just call the dilemma, this concoction of society that's fighting itself and is just heading to its closing out its chapter in the evolutionary cycle. So if there's anything to be done about it, maybe escort people through the transition hole. I kept asking and praying about it, and I walked outside the doctor's office the other day, and there was a young man just walking past me, 20. I looked at him, and I smiled, and I saw the hunger in his eyes for love. I started thinking to myself, and you know what happens when I start thinking to myself? Well, it just goes to show you.
Yeah, you stop.
It's just really about giving ourselves permission to express all the love that we have and that we are. However humbly you may start or wherever you are, everybody can start doing that. And trust the love to take charge of the system, because only the love is in any position to do anything about it. The best we can do is soften its fall. Civilization, maybe X number of more people, if we attend to it, could go through the transition with consciousness.
There's always one person in my life every day who exhibits that opening of love. Today it was this cashier in the supermarket who was a delight. She was just a bubble of love. She and I, eyes were going back and forth and affirming each other and everything about us. Somebody had forgotten something when I got to her counter, and she jumped up and she ran out the door and gave it to the man because I had noticed it. And then we were talking about that, and she said, what else is there but recognition and love? I said, nothing. There is nothing else. We were on the same page, you know, and everything. How long do you stand on it to pay your bill? Maybe a minute?
I had to go down there and get her and pull her away from that guy.
No.
3 hours. Come on.
No, for 1 minute seemed so huge. It was such a huge amount of time because of the exchange. There was nothing impeding it.
It does go to show you. Mm-hmm. It goes to show you that that's how love is made possible as an ongoing activity throughout forever. You can get your early tickets to forever if you call in now. That's right.
But you don't have to worry because it's forever. The truth is, you can get it anytime.
But wait, just to show you, as I continue to deepen into and behold that essence that I am and to experience being beheld by that same essence that I am, to realize I am the embrace, like Jesus was thought to have said, I and the Father are one, meaning that he was completely transparent between what was, so someone could look right through him and see the Father, see the source of the light. My image is that he was like a flag on a hill in a golf course when you can't see the green from the tee. And so they have this flag that they put down the fairway so you have some sense of which direction to aim your ball.
Because otherwise you could hit it anywhere.
Any direction. And in fact, that's what we do. We hit it any which way. You know, we are. We were a culture that's hitting the ball. Think about it. A bunch of guys on the tee. They're getting ready to tee off. They're all teed off in a different direction, and none of them can find their balls, and they're all out there looking in the weeds for their balls.
Just goes to show you, watch out, man. You can lose your balls anywhere.
This is Inside Out, doing his best to speak in a calm, cool voice, as my wife is throwing laughter over at me. Speaking of laughter, I'm reading Reinhold Niebuhr.
Great name.
Oh, my God. It's so wonderful to be discovering these great minds and these great people in my life at this point. Like, Reinhold Niebuhr was here before I was, but I just never looked into the Reinhold Niebuhr. He was a theologian, a scholar, an essayist, a philosopher in the early part of the 20th century. There are probably people alive today who knew him, I suspect. He had this essay on faith and humor. And what was fascinating about it is they kind of worked together. They were like a tag team. Humor can take you so far in terms of diffusing some of the tension on the earthly level. You're laughing. But it can't take you all the way. Like when you get into the really dark place, then it has to turn you over to faith. If you're in the middle of a horror scene, for example, you're not laughing.
Not in that moment.
No. So it's faith.
Some people can. You
and
know.
That's why we're having a special on faith tonight. Rabbi, tell us about our faith special tonight. I know everybody's waiting to hear from you. It's about time. Yeah, we got a faith special because people don't know that they need faith. If they have hope, it's good. It's a good start. They then kick it into faith. And it's like going to the next gear. Let me tell you this, that there's hope, there's faith, and you know what's coming? Love is coming. Charity is coming. Love, hope, and givingness. Mutual abandoning ourselves to the givingness that will be happening all the time. So you walk into a supermarket, and people, they're sat looking at each other, and everyone's going, but I know you. I know you. I know you. Because you are the same as me, and we start recognizing each other. And faith is what makes you, allows you to begin opening yourself up to the recognition that you'll be seeing as you behold another person. And that's faith. It's your will that says, okay, what do I know? I'll reach out into reality as if it's going to be there to hold me up.
Just goes to show you.
Right, darling. Right, is it good to show you?
It goes to show you that when you're in a state of oneness, you can go anywhere.
All at once.
The marvelous thing is we're here, right? And here we are, and there's nothing else to do or say about that because we're here. You can pretend you're not here, but you are. You're here. And that just goes to show you, you can't get away from being here, no matter what you think.
That's what I love about being. Oh, sure, is this Father O'Malley here now? Now you're talking my language there, laddie. Being. Oh, sure, it is there. I fell in love with being. And do you know what happened, though? Being was full of being, was all being. And it was like something that was just being itself, and all being was all inside it. And then being showed me non-being. Oh, laddie, there's a non-being and a being. Now, you can't really comprehend this because it's just way too much for the mind to hold on to. But you know you've got being, and then you open the door for something to show up in your life that stepped right out of non-being and says, howdy. And you welcome it in, and you embrace it, and there you have it. You've got more being, and you're more available to, for non-being to come into your life there.
Just goes to show you, sometimes I understand what you're saying, and sometimes I don't.
Wait a minute, I think I get it. Okay, what he was saying is, you have a sense of your lifeness, that your beingness, and then there's everything outside of that, your sense of your lifeness, your beingness, and how it's perceiving and interacting and thinking and having its own reality. But then there's outside of all of that, because it ultimately comes down to what each of us is experiencing directly at any given moment. That's all that's whatever it is. And how you embrace that and how you allow it to embrace you is the dance of evolution. And it can get real coarse and very abrasive, or it can get very embrasive. Playing that tension appears to be the axis of finite reality, as this universe, this fulcrum, keeps going back and forth and rubbing up against each other. I think what it's doing is softening the edges and making the universe more slippery and salubrious.
It just goes to show you that that's what we think about, you and I. I don't experience that many people think about the things we think about. There are some, but it's a small portion of the population.
That we know about.
It doesn't even matter, because the thing is, you do know about it because you see what's going on. It's so easy to find out about society by the movies people go to that make a lot of money, the clothes people wear that are in the stores. So easy to see what's
getting our attention.
Yeah, that's how marketing is all about, where people are. Once they know where people are, they sell to that. There aren't that many people that are selling thoughts. Oh, thoughts are going really well today. Let's put a good price on them because people are buying them. People are buying thoughts. People are buying thinking. Just goes to show you. You know how much you get for thinking?
Some people get a lot. Like these think tanks that cock up these strategies for gaining control of the world and making the world in its image.
That's one kind of thinking. The other kind of thinking, which is like, let us think how we can expand our consciousness. Let us think how we can spread more love on the planet. Let us think about how we can become unified rather than separate. Let us think about those things. It just goes to show you, I don't see too much of that happening. I mean, I see more separation, fuel, fear. You know, there's a fuel pump down there that you can get fear.
You can fill it up. We take cash or credit, any way you want to pay us your fear. We'll even top that, and we'll show you ways you can exacerbate your fear.
You don't even have to read a book about it. You just stand on the corner, and it'll come to you.
I thought of standing on the corner, and I did one time. I was so desperate for an audience. This is about 20 years ago.
20?
You were out here in California. It was when I first got here. And I walked up to this family on the street. It was a mom and dad and like a 10-year-old and then a 1.5-year-old being held in the arms of his dad. And I just started doing this comedy with them and about them. The 9-10-year-old totally got it. She was laughing. And the dad got it. The mother was wondering. They seemed okay with it. And, of course, the 1.5-year-old was just, oh, okay, what's this?
Another form of human. It just goes to show you. The biggest thing is to be totally true to the highest in ourselves. I could say be true to yourself. Well, that could be anything. You can go around eating people. That's true to yourself. But to be true to the highest in yourself is one, to make contact with the highest in yourself. And then to allow yourself to express it. That's the most important thing of all. To express the highest in yourself. Well, that may sound abstract, but it just goes to show you I am.
I raise the question to ask, what's the best thing I could choose right now and right here? With no idea of what the answer might be, and open yourself. And while you're doing that, well, we can't wait. You know why? Because the beat goes on.
The beat goes on. The beat goes on.
Drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain. La-da-da-da-dee. La-da-da-da-da. Charleston was once the rage, history has turned a page, The miniskirt's the current thing, goes on, the beat goes on. The drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain. La da 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 dee, la da 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 da.
The grocery store, the supermarket. Still keep on marching off to war.
Electrically they keep a baseball score.
And the beat goes on. The beat goes on.
Drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain. La-da-da-da-dee, la-da-da-da-da.
Grandma's sitting chairs and reminisce.
Boys keep chasing girls to get a kiss.
The cars keep a-going faster all the time. Goes on. The beat goes on.
Drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain. La da 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 dee. La da 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 da.
And the beat goes on.
Yes, the beat goes on.
And the beat goes on.
And the beat goes on.
Thank you, Sonny and Cher.
No.
The beat goes on.
That was fun.
Let me just stop to remind you that this program you're listening to, through which this conversation is expanding its out over the sound waves of life, is this arrangement of thoughts and perceptions that Rochelle and I share concerning what we might expect when life gives us its next punchline.
We can laugh before we even get there.
That's right.
Just so goes to show
hurry,
you.
Hurry up and laugh.
You That's... just say punchline and we can laugh.
Here's where I think we need to build a new society around music, laughter, dancing. At least those three.
What do you mean a new society? Every society has been built around music.
Well, we get away from it.
Death.
You know, everything is, see, we've become a society where everything has become a commodity. And I was reminded of that by a talk I heard by George, somebody who's an economist and says things like that just said.
Yeah, you've also been immersing yourself in the darkness of our society, which exists, or the shadow, tremendously. There hasn't been too much sunlight in the things you've been immersing yourself in.
It's just kind of looking at the ways in which it's unfolding. If you think of it's coming apart as a kind of an unfolding.
Well, someone once said, from the moment you're born, you begin to die. That's true. So why would it be less for the aggregate than for the individual?
Exactly. I love that point because reality is only ever experienced by each of us personally and individually. We may hold an image of ourselves as part of a collective, the family, the system, the school, the team, whatever country point of view. But in fact, reality is just being experienced by each of us without each of us inside each other's consciousness also experiencing it. So they gave us a little space in the universe. Otherwise, it would have been so crowded.
I think of that all the time when we're in our cars on the highway, especially a highway that is crowded. All these people are in their particular cars. They all experience the same whatever is going on in their lives as a result of being stuck on the highway.
It's a new brand. It's the like, Stuckers.
I mean, it goes to show you. It's a phenomenon. We live in California. We live off a highway, which is constantly breaking down. No, the highway doesn't break down. The flow of traffic breaks down. Today, I came home. I was going south on the highway, and I got off. And then I was going south on the frontage road. I looked over at the southern road that I had just come off, and it wasn't moving.
We've been there.
Then I heard on the radio that a car had turned over. Just 2 days ago, something else happened on the same highway in the same place. I mean, you'd think you wouldn't want to ever go on that place, go near that place ever again. It just goes to show you how scary it is.
That is the scariest highway I've ever been on, is right the one we use. The way it's designed and the steepness and the way it curves, and it's easy forget things to get all mixed up.
Yeah, and everybody who goes on it thinks they're at the Le Mans. Okay, I'm on 17. I'm going to go as fast as possible.
I see it a little differently, especially in some places where you're going down. And so the problem is it's curving, but it's steep enough. You're accelerating going down like we do when we come from the top of the summit down to us. So it's not about putting your foot on the gas. It's about how you ride your brakes over that period of time. It's like a different aspect of driving that doesn't get it that what it deserves. You know, it deserves a higher place than people
you see,
appreciate.
Just goes to show you, here's a person driving the car is a whole art form. You get into it. For me, driving the car is a get from one place to another.
Speaking of get, I want to let you all in on the something that Rochelle and I have come to appreciate. And that is, when we go out in our car and I go to stores, she goes out there to shop. I go out there to get.
That's right. And it's very frustrating.
And so from her being a shopper and me just basically a getter, get it, get in, get out.
It just goes to show you. There's many ways to walk in and out of a store as there are people.
But learning something like that about one's partner, spouse, weird reflection of who I am. In a woman's body. It's just a very interesting experience, having been with you, Rochelle, for these many years.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
It's been half our lives.
It just goes to show you what a few good... I know it's there. There's a certain word.
You know he's holding back only because he may get into trouble.
That's right. So imagine some of your favorite words filling those blanks. Go ahead and drop those
it
in.
It just goes to show you, don't talk about your spouse to your spouse in front of an audience.
Well, I thought we were behind them. See, we're in sound, and they're in my imagination, so they could be anywhere. It's not in front of them, it's behind them.
Okay, whatever. Just goes to show you, don't do it, whatever, front or back.
Inside Out, The Naked Truth. You can reach me through my email. I'd love to hear from you because I sit over here in this woods twiddling my thumbs going,
right.
And I clean the bathrooms and the yurts and stuff to keep me busy.
Being at Lupin is a Zen experience. It really is.
No question about it.
I feel like all my life's work, which is learning about love, talking about it, and writing about it, but our time at Lupin has been really living it, really in the trenches, living it. People come to this place every day, and some of them are nice, and some of them are not nice in a certain term. And yet each, every one of them, there's something to love. Sometimes harder than other people, but each and every one is something to love.
There's always something. If it's just your fingernails, and you've worked on them, and you got them just the way you like them, wow, start there. Love yourself.
Absolutely.
And that's why the whole notion of naturism, which is what Lupin is. I mean, let's face it, I live in a place where you're very likely to see someone walking around in the buff, including myself.
That means without clothes, by the way.
In what language? Stoichen.
In the buff.
It just goes to show you that if you allow yourself to stop and suspend your understandings about anything. Let your memories go away, like into the mist. Even if it's just for a split second, to just allow yourself to have no thought. Just do that often. What throws you into that space is trust. And that's the muscle we need to go to the next level. Trust. And this is how you grow the muscle of trust.
It's what are you vital. Trusting in?
That's exactly the core question.
Oh, it just goes to show you how
we
I came up with the core
to
question.
The core question. And who brings it up? Rochelle Strider. We are so proud of that girl. We are at that core question, and it's because of you. Okay. So what is the core question?
And just, well, I don't know. What do you trust in?
That was the core question. That's the $64 million question. What do you actually put your trust in? Somewhere at certain points in your life, you've most likely put your trust in someone or something.
And got betrayed.
That's true, but you've also gotten your trust rewarded. Whatever.
You've had the experience.
It behooves people to stop and ask themselves where I was able to trust. What was going on that allowed me to trust? For example, do I trust my government to do right and good by me and my fellow citizens to the best that it can, understanding that it's an unbelievably complex thing full of beings with every conceivable point of view and attitude? And to try to make any sense of that, it takes something far greater than who I am or anything that I can think of. And since I choose to live, and I believe that living requires trust, I choose to trust. And that's what faith is. Faith is the way I reach out and choose trust as a way of relating to the whole of life.
Trying to listen to what you're saying with an unbiased mind, a mind that already knows what you're saying, it sounds very abstract. I have a litmus test for everything that comes at me. Does it bring me into greater connection with myself, with you, or with something?
And we sell these litmus test kits. You'll be asked several questions about who you connected with, myself, the other, and the
something.
Huge beyondness, something that it just is expanding forever into the unknown, as fast as it can go.
It just goes to show you.
It goes to show you that it's a big mystery. But that's ultimately what you have to trust. It's like that great character and scene in the Shakespeare in Love when they keep asking the character that Rush played.
Oh, Jeffrey Rush.
And he was a theater owner or something. And he kept saying, "The mystery, I don't know, it's a mystery." And he'd jump off into some other thing. I will get through it.
You think he'll open? Oh, absolutely. Well, what can you be sure of? I don't know. It's a mystery.
I could see the movie just for that, because I think that piece of information is vital. And it just goes to show you that as you cultivate, like putting your little tippy toes into the waters of trust, and then see if you can wade into it deeper and deeper. It's a great place to swish your toes, trust, and to feel like there's something underneath you that's holding you up. And you know, there is gravity. And gravity, which no one really understands, is pretty much what you have to put your trust in this life. And that gives you a hint of ever-expanding life into dimensions you can't even imagine yet.
Goes to show you.
What?
What you just said.
Oh, see? We like to think big. We have small bodies and tiny little brains compared to infinity, you know. So we like try and join the infinite in-crowd. The in-crowd.
That wonderful movie, was it named Lucy or something, about using just the smallest capacity of your brain and then expanding use of your brain? We saw it. It was marvelous.
Okay, that movie. Good point.
To realize that we're just itty-bitty-bitty fetuses on this planet. So, of course, we're going to muck up, and of course we're going to make mess. How can you not when you're a bunch of little infants running around with weapons? Not just rocks and stones, but weapons.
It just goes to show you, and just today I heard Noam Chomsky, you're in good company, make the same point. There's always been wars, but it's different now, because then it was like bows and arrows. Now it's these nuclear weapons that are readily available to just do it. That's nuts.
It's nuts if you honor life. But if you don't honor life, and death is what's more important than life, then it's not nuts. You think it's perfectly okay. I mean, it just goes to show you that we all have different points of view. And some of those points of view are life-giving, and some of those points of view are death-giving.
Just goes to show you how usually around an hour into our time with each other and you all out there, we feel like we need to let you go and let us go. But as always, we're saying goodbye. Errol and Rochelle Strider, Inside Out, The Naked Truth, Tuesday nights, live, Sunday mornings, 8 a.m. And you can reach my email at estrider@gmail.com. Okay, what do we need to remember, Rochelle?
We need to remember, resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
It just goes to show you.